But the idea of this series is that we're discovering the heart of Calvary, what Calvary is about. And it's going to be a great series for the next 4 weeks. This morning we're talking about a heart of community. Next week we'll be talking about a heart of service as we celebrate our Honor Our Heroes Sunday with our local firemen, police officers, and EMTs. The week after that, a heart of worship, and the last weekend we'll be talking about a heart of forgiveness. What is at the heart of Calvary? Just one side note before we talk to these ladies. If you would care to do this, we have t-shirts. You can see Connie displaying her so well. It says, I heart my church. It has our church website, calvaryurban.com. If you want to get a t-shirt, you don't have to. If you care to, though, it'll be out in the foyer after the service. You can grab one. Just a fun little way to celebrate your church and what you're part of. And I know I'm excited to be part of it. Hope you ladies are as well. But I invited Connie and Linda. If you want to back up to some of these, like, these people over here. We have such a big sanctuary, don't we? Isn't that a great thing? But I asked these ladies to come here this morning just to share a little bit about what God has done in their hearts through life groups, and I just wanted to interview them real briefly. And God has done some great things here already, and he's going to this fall semester. So first of all, I want to have you guys introduce yourselves. So Connie, you can introduce yourself to Linda.
I'm Connie Harshberger, and I've been part of Calvary Church for 7 years and am part of the life group leadership. And some of you may not know me because I've been helping with a church plant in Greensburg, but life group has been the way that I've stayed connected to this body, and participating in life group leadership each and every week has really enabled me to stay part of the heart of this church.
That's great. Hi, I'm Linda, and let's see, I grew up in this area. I actually went to this church as a child and a teenager, and went away for college and ended up living in different parts of the country for the past 10 years. And then 2 years ago, moved back here, and was actually one of the people along with Connie that helped get the life group ministry started.
That's great. Tell us a little about the first time you were involved in a small group. What were some of the fears that you had? I know that some of us, sometimes the idea of being part of a small group or life group can be a frightening concept. What were some of the fears that you had going into a small group for the first time?
Okay. Well, the first time I went into a small group was about 8 years ago. And at that time, I was much more shy than I am now. And I remember just basically being afraid of opening up to people. I just had this fear that if I let them know who I was, that they would judge me or make fun of me. And I mean, I've been continuously involved in small groups for 8 years since that time, and that fear was never realized. Like, I just found people that love Jesus, and so they were able to love me.
That's good. What has God done in your life through your involvement, life groups here at Calvary?
I think the biggest thing is he has softened my heart and given me much more compassion. I think that through life groups, I was able to really see the people here. And what I found was people who really have a desperate desire to know God more and to grow in their relationship with him. And I found a lot of people that are hurting very terribly. And I just saw so much work that God did in those circumstances. And it humbled me and really made me much more compassionate.
That's great. Connie, for someone maybe that's thinking of signing up or being part of a life group this fall semester, maybe fear that Linda's kind of sharing, maybe they're a little apprehensive. What advice would you give to someone today that's maybe considering signing up for a life group?
Well, the advice I would give would be the same advice that Jesus himself demonstrated. Sometimes we think that the closer we are with God or the more we know the word, that we don't need people. But Jesus himself demonstrated to us that that's not true at all. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was with the people that knew him best, the disciples, he asked for their help. He asked for their support. He asked for their friendship. And he didn't just ask one time. He shows us. He asked three times. And if the Son of God needs friends and support and encouragement, we need all of those things as well. So I would just say that I would share his advice.
Yeah, that's good. And also, just in case you're wondering, there's also food, which is always a good thing, right?
Lots of food.
So it's not just studying God's word, but especially the Tuesday night mixed group, they have dinner every week. So if you need dinner, this is the
do it.
There you go.
I know. I mean, I think that in the 8 years that I've been involved in small groups, God has used that to really transform me. And that hasn't made me perfect, and there's a lot more work to do, but I've been transformed tremendously. And that's what I see in people that get involved in community. Like, it changes them and draws them closer to God. And because of that, you have to realize that Satan is going to come against you. So, I mean, I feel like even listening to this, there's probably people that have thoughts like, you know, I'm too busy to do this. I can't open up to people. If I do this, I'll get hurt. Like, all these thoughts are going to go through your head. But the thing is, you just got to pray about it and push through it and get involved in community. Because if it's in your heart to grow and to serve others and, you know, to have a vibrant relationship with Christ, like, this is a key way to do it. So do it.
And in this semester with the Life Groups, one of the things we're doing, we've expanded, and a few other Life Groups are taking place on Wednesday nights. And our goal is to make that next step to get involved in the Life Group as easy as possible for you. So Wednesday nights, there's childcare, there's things for the youth. So if you have children, they can be part of that. And you can jump into a Life Group and be part of it. And we want that to be such an easy step for you because we understand how crucially important it is for you, for this church, that we aren't just worshiping God on Sunday morning, but we are taking steps actively towards Him to become more like Christ, to get out in our community, to show God's love to our community. Before we finish up, Connie, do you have any last words that you want to share with any of us?
I did just want to share. I know we as human beings oftentimes set our sights on relationships that we have with other people, and sometimes that can be like a best friend or a spouse or a partner. And something really was made relevant to me last week in that I went through a tremendous, tumultuous storm, and it was because of the deep relationships that I have with the people in life groups that that were able to help me through that storm. There was a person who was there with wise counsel, and another person who was there who prayed for me each and every day of the week, nonstop, without even me asking. And a different person who sent me text messages. A wife who sent me phone messages. A person who showed me how I was accountable for part of that storm. Another person who celebrated with me at the end of that week. So it wasn't just one relationship. It was the relationship that I had with the people who knew me best. And just like Jesus in that garden reached out to the people that walked with him, that ate with him, and learned with him, I reached out to the people that knew me best. And I didn't even have to ask them three times. I told them the story, and they were there. And God really used one couple to reveal a vision in something in my life very, very personally. And so, you know, God wants us to have these relationships, and he doesn't want us just to have one, but just a community. Sometimes, you know, we go through things, and it takes a community of people.
That's good. And our goal is that it's kind of tagline for our life groups is to live life to the full. And to live life to the full, we can't do it in isolation. But we have to live in community to the point that you're comfortable. We desire to teach our life groups to create relational environments where you can come, study God's word, build relationships. We're not going to say you're going to find your best friend there. That's not something that we're saying. But what we're saying is you can come build some relationships. Maybe go a little bit deeper in a relationship than you would on Sunday morning and study God's word. Really start to see what does it mean to follow Christ in my life? How can I take those steps towards Christ personally? This fall semester is only 10 weeks, so you're not committing the rest of your life. You're just committing the next 10 weeks for being part of the group. And after that, you know, you can jump into another group for the next semester if you'd like, or whatever you like, but just 10 weeks jumping into a group, and we'll be talking a little more about those in a little bit. But give you enough for Connie and Linda. Thank you so much for taking time back to me. There's some great people in this church. I know oftentimes we don't get to hear about different stories and what God has done in each of our lives and so many lives represented here on Sunday, but we do have such a great church. Such a pleasure to be part of. As I mentioned, we're starting a series this morning called I Heart My Church. And this morning we'll be talking about heart of community. That as Christians, as followers of Christ, that we should live our lives in community. Now, before before we get started, you can take a few moments, look at the screen, see if you find someone you know. There's a few people up there that maybe you might know, but try to include some pictures of our church, because we're proud of our church, okay? I'm proud to be part of Calvary. I hope you are as well. I'm excited about the future and what God's doing. Some of you were there on Wednesday night. We had our town hall meeting here, and it was honestly an exciting night. I was energized. I hope you were, for those of you that were there. If you missed out, you have to talk to someone who was there. It was a great Wednesday. Sorry, Mike, am I screwing up the microphones? I won't belt out the song, don't worry. You guys would all hate that, trust me. But we're starting a series called I Heart My Church. And the idea of community is that we live our lives together with others. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever done this before, but oftentimes in January, people establish New Year's resolutions. Have any of you ever established a New Year's resolution? I'm sure many of you have. A few years ago, when I was a youth pastor here, one of our youth leaders, a friend of mine, his name is Ed Kelso. Some of you may know Ed. He kind of pushed me to make a New Year's resolution for at least 4 months. And the New Year's resolution was every week on Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 in the morning, I would get up and go work out with him at Blazers. So every Tuesday and Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30. And he also gave me like this schedule of what I should eat and all these protein shakes and everything. And I don't know whether I was crazy or if he just completely manipulated my mind or something, but I agreed to it. And I remember so many mornings, I lived up in the parsonage up here behind the church, getting up thinking, why did I agree to this? This is so stupid. And one particular morning, I remember Ed told me to drink these protein shakes, but I didn't realize just to drink them after you work out, not before. So I drank the protein shake before I went down to being a good student or whatever I was to Ed. And I drank the protein shake, went and we lifted weights, and I thought I was going to die. And I was like really queasy by the end of the workout. And I walked out to my car in the parking lot Blazers and threw up all of the parking lot. So I found out, Ed told me later, you're supposed to drink the shake after you work out, not before. Because you do it before you get sick. He's like, now you tell me. But this New Year's resolution I made with Ed, I never would have followed through with if I was doing it by myself. Not a chance. There's no way I would have gotten up at 7:30 in the morning every Tuesday and Thursday, gone to Blazers, and lifted weights. You can tell he had a great impact on me that continues to this day. But I never would have followed through with that. There's something that happens when we're in community, when we're in a relationship. And what I want to share with you this morning is this simple idea that change happens through community. Change happens through community. That when we're working together with other people, change can happen. You see a picture there, actually from this last week. As you can tell, the roof is new. Maybe you can't tell, but we have a new roof, okay? So, yeah, it's exciting. George Rain is here with us. He was part of this church for many years, and he helped make that happen. So if you guys can thank him for all the hard work that he did making that happen. But putting together this roof, if you were here the other week, maybe you weren't, but I was here every day this week and walking around the building watching them fix this roof. you ever watched A-Team, Mr. T was definitely afraid of flying, but the guys always challenged him to fly. Laverne had Shirley, right? Laverne had Shirley, always challenging each other. And one of the best, Cindy had Marsha and Jan. Always worked with each other. So maybe you guys know some of those people. They were close family friends through the television for many of us. But we all need people around us that will encourage us and challenge us to grow. If we want to change, if we want to see things happen, we need to do it in community. And change can be a difficult thing in our lives. You know, sometimes change is happening and at such a pace that you don't want anything new to happen because you don't think you can handle it. Maybe for you this morning, you've come here and you're thinking, I can manage one more thing to change. My life has been turned upside down right now. And you're asking me to change. I don't even know how. How would I even handle changing my life? Because it's been changing too quickly and to a point that I'm not even happy right now. Or maybe for you, there's a habit or something in your life that you've been trying to break free from. It's something that's becoming destructive in your life. And you don't know how to break out of it. You don't know how to change that habit in your life. Or maybe you're in a rut, spiritually or emotionally, physically, where you just can't break out of this rut. And life is no longer enjoyable because you feel stuck. And we all experience change in different ways. But the question is, how do we manage change in such a way that we can handle it? Where we come out better on the other side? And it's a question that we all ask that can be so difficult. Because change sometimes happens beyond our control. Sometimes things change and we have no control over it. Sometimes things need to change. Sometimes things need to change and we feel like we can't do it. And what I love about Scripture is that Scripture always speaks to our deepest needs. And this morning we're going to look at a passage in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And Hebrews chapter 10, the author of Hebrews, is challenging the readers, which at this time were Christian, those who were Jewish Christians in most likely Rome in the first century. And they're challenging the reader and challenging us to persevere. That we don't have to be satisfied, we can press through. And he basically gives us a couple of principles about managing change in our lives and doing it in community. Not just trying to walk through life and figure things out on our own, but doing it with others, the involvement of others. Because ultimately, change happens through community in our lives. If you can turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, we'll be reading in verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Now, give you a little heads up, this next slide has new pictures, okay? So, if you want to switch to the next slide so you can check out the pictures real quick. Check them out, see if you know anyone real quick. Anyone new? All right, now we're going to read God's Word. Okay? So, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. You can follow along with me this morning. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Powerful verses. Powerful verses. And there are two main things, I believe, that the author of this book, that we can learn from Hebrews chapter 10, that impact our ability to manage change and to do so in community. That we can see change happen through community. The first thing is identifying the constant in your community. We all have a community in a sense. I'm not talking about a location, but a group of friends or relationships. What are the constants in your community, in your relationships? What are the things that are there? You know, for some groups of people, a constant could be drug abuse. It's something that's there. That group of people, that community of people, it's a constant. And that, whatever that constant is, it impacts what the result of that community. maybe it's an island that you're passing. Maybe it's a buoy in the water. Maybe it's a log that's just floating in the water. And as you see that fixed point, that one item, that object that isn't moving, that isn't going forward, you realize how quickly you're changing, how quickly you're moving. And identifying what a constant is in our life, what the constant is in our life, helps us understand where we're at, what is changing. And in Hebrews chapter 10 here, verse 23, says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." He who promised is faithful. That God is a constant. He is someone that we can go to and rely upon. In the midst of change that we can control or change that we want to see happen in our lives, that God is a constant. And that we can hold tight to his promises. Because he who promised is faithful. That the hope that we have for change, or the hope that we have for change to stop, that we can hold on to. Because God is a constant in our lives. Scripture says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God that delivered the Israelites out of the hand of the Egyptians. He is the same God that delivered David from the hand of lions. He's the same God that healed the sick and the lame through Jesus' ministry. He's the same God that serves us and is here with us today. He's the same God. He's a constant. And whatever constant is in your community, whatever constant is present in that group, it's going to impact what the result will be. And as we draw closer to God, as a group of people draw closer to God, you know what happens? They start to reflect the characteristics of God. Because when God is a constant community of relationships, you will see an impact to your life. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, "Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." If God is present, if God is a constant in your community, that love will naturally come out of your life. If in your community, the constant is not that there's anything wrong with this, trust me, but if the community is sports, naturally, that group of people are going to know a lot about sports, right? I know when I was in high school, I played basketball and soccer, and all my friends, we watched SportsCenter. From the moment we walked in the door of our house to the moment we left, we were like sports experts. That's all we ever talked about. We talked about sports. And we were sports experts. That was the group of people I was connected with. The group of people you are connected with, what are the constants? What are the things that aren't changing, that are always there? Because identifying what those things are will help you identify what you are going to become, what is going to change, and how it's going to impact your life. When God becomes a constant in our community, that's the value of life groups. When God becomes a constant in our community, we start to reflect God's characteristics. We start to see God reflected through our lives. You see, in a Gallup poll that was done by the National Association of Marriage and Kids in 1997, they did a Gallup poll among couples around the country. And in this Gallup poll, they discovered that couples that went to church together, they had a divorce rate of one out of every two. So 50% of couples that went to church together still were divorced at some point. But then they took this next step further. And they asked them who those couples that prayed together. And they discovered that couples that prayed together start to reflect his characteristics, where our lives start to become filled with grace, forgiveness, love, and compassion. And we start to see Christ work through us. Because we are working in community with people, but we're keeping God as the constant. Our goal with life groups is not that we just get together and have a good time. We want to create opportunities for people to build relationships, and that's important, but that's not the end goal. The end goal is that we can keep God as a constant in the midst of that community so that we all can draw closer and become more like Christ. So that at the end of a semester, that everyone in the group, although none of us will be perfect, that each of us will be a little bit more like Christ. Maybe just a step, maybe two steps, but at least that we're a little bit more like Christ. That's our goal. That's my desire for each of you, is that we can see people becoming more like Christ every day. In their words, in their actions, as they go to work, that people start to see the reflection of Christ in their lives. If you read in the book of Acts, one of the more incredible statements that is made about the disciples of Christ is the verse where it says that they were uneducated men, clearly, but it was obvious that they had been with Jesus. And my desire is that people are getting involved, that we each can get involved in a group and become more like Christ so that we can walk into a grocery store, that we can go to work, we can walk through our neighborhood, and people can see. They're not perfect, but I can see that they've been with Jesus. I can see there's something different about them. And that's what we want with our life groups, is that God is a constant so that our lives can reflect what Christ modeled for us. And sure, we can discover those things on our own, and we can read throughout Scripture, but change happens through community. Change happens through community. I would have never gotten up at 7:30 in the morning and got as big as I am today, okay, if it wasn't for Ed Kelso. You can tell him that. You can thank him for that. But change happens through community. When other people are challenging, you're working together with other people, you can grow and develop. So the first thing is that we need to identify the constant in our community. And the second thing here is identify the end result of your community. What is the end result? What is your community working towards? What are you trying to accomplish? Stephen Covey, a popular author, makes the statement, begin with the end in mind. What is the end goal of your community relationships? Maybe you don't have one. And most people don't. You don't go hang out with friends thinking, all right, this is where I'm going to get to. But think about it. If you can begin with the end in mind, if you have a purpose in mind for relationships, not that you're using the relationships, but if you have an end goal of that community of people, imagine what you can accomplish. Imagine what could happen in your life, through your life. Identify the end result of your community. In verse 24, in the New King James Version of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, and let us consider one another. It says, and let us consider one another. Have you ever thought about that? Let us consider one another. Let us consider those around us. And it goes on to say how we can spur each other on towards love and good deeds. Let us consider how my life can influence another's life. Let us consider how each of us can encourage one another and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. I don't know if you have something like this at your work. I had a kid on my soccer team in college was like this, where he didn't really spur us on toward loving good deeds, but everyone got angry when they were around him. You ever had someone, a coworker like that, or maybe someone in your neighborhood or that you know? This person, typically, we would go on these road trips. And our goal with life groups is that we can spur one another on. And Hebrews 10 here says that as a follower of Christ, we should hold tight to this promise that he who is promised is faithful. We can hold tight to that. But we need to take it a step further. That we spur one another on towards loving good deeds. That we consider one another. That we aren't just in this for ourselves. That it's not just about me, but it's about spurring one another, encouraging one another towards loving good deeds. And the end result, what is the end result? It's the characteristics of Christ, the biblical characteristics of Christ, love and good deeds. And with life groups or whatever community you might be part of, what is the end result? Our end result, what we want to see is that you become more like Christ and that you are able to step out to serve. So every life group over the semester will identify one project in our community or with a missionary and will serve towards that project. Because our goal is not just benefit our church, not just grow our church, but our goal is to be a blessing to our community, to those outside of these walls. A church does not exist for itself. Our church, Calvary, does not exist for itself. Calvary exists to be a blessing to our community, to the world outside of these walls. And as a life group, as our life groups, we want to do the same, that we will spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We will challenge each other to take a step of faith, to maybe go serve in building a home for Habitat for Humanity, or to go serve in a soup kitchen downtown, or wherever it may be, getting out, getting your hands dirty and saying, you know what, I'm going to be as much like Christ as I can and take this step towards him and serve someone who can't serve themselves. That's what it means to spur one another on. Now, some of you maybe have done that before on your own, and maybe that idea of doing that is not that foreign to you. But you know what my challenge is? Maybe there are others who have never taken that step. And as we spur each other on, we can see God do some incredible things through community. Because change happens through community. What's incredible is change doesn't just happen in you. Change happens elsewhere through community. That we can change our town. We can change North Huntington, Irwin, Westmoreland County. We can change Western Pennsylvania through community. That one group at a time can go out and serve and be a blessing. And that's our desire with life groups, is that you can take a step towards Christ, that you can keep God that constant. You can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And it goes on to say in verse 25, and let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And it can become very easy to get out of the habit of meeting together. Not that it's something that's a ritual you just have to do, but there's value in gathering together with people and encouraging one another. If you've ever gone through a difficult season of your life, you understand the power of friendships and relationships, the power of community. That you can help each other, encourage each other, celebrate with each other. And that's what we desire, is that as many people as possible from this church can be part of that kind of environment. As many people as possible. That it's not just a handful of people, but you know what my vision is? My desire is to see as many people in a life group as are here on Sunday morning. And we want to see that happen. It's going to happen. But we have to be willing to take those steps of faith personally. And what about you? You know, change happens through community. It happens through community. But how is your life being impacted by this? How is your community impacting the change in your life? You know, maybe your whole life has been turned upside down, as I mentioned, and you don't know what to do. And the idea of change is so frightening. The concept of change in your life scares you to death because you can't handle one more thing. What are your constants? What are the constants in your life? And you said that so much change. What are the constants in your life? Or maybe there's a habit, something that you're trying to break free from. And it's been so difficult. And you've been trying to go it alone. You've been trying to change this habit, break free from We can't force you to become more like Christ. As much as I want to, we can't. Each of us have to own that ourselves and say, I'm going to take this step to be part of this, or I'm going to take this step to be part of a community where God is constant, and I can become more like Christ and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We all have to take that step of faith this morning and today. And this morning, if you could pull out your communicator, your bulletin, you all should have that still. And God's desire is that we all take steps towards Him. And I'm not saying this is the only way, but this is one of the opportunities that we're providing here as a church. Next Tuesday and Wednesday, September 13th and 14th, we're going to be launching a new semester of life groups that you've been hearing about, of course. That'll encourage you this morning. This is why we waited to receive the offering until the end of the service, because I want to give you the opportunity this morning. Maybe you've never taken a step to be part of a life group. Maybe the idea is a little bit of a scary thing for you. But hopefully you heard from Linda and Connie, and you understand that it can be a little bit of a fearful step, but it's a good step, and it's a safe environment. We're not going to beat you over the head. It's not going to be an environment where you're going to be, you know, scared to death. We want to provide you an environment where you can grow and build relationships. That simple. And this morning we provide a number of different life groups for you. We have a mixed life group that's going to be meeting on Tuesday nights. They're going to have dinner every Tuesday, 6:45. And they're going to be going through a study called Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. Wednesday night, we're going to have a number of groups. We have our men's group, which will be going through a series called a study called Game Plan. Then we have our women's group, which will be going through a study called Esther by Beth Moore. A couples group that's going to be studying a series called I Promise. This is for married couples, people who are living their lives as a married couple. And then Starting Point, which is a group for those who are new in their faith, to really learn the basics of what it means to follow Christ. And each of these groups are designed to help you grow, help you take steps towards Christ. We have childcare available during all of the groups, and on the 13th and 14th, their kickoff, we're going to have food in all of the different groups. I think the guys' groups are going to do wings, and we'll have some cake and different things in each of the groups. It'll be a chance to come, check it out, get to know someone new, possibly, and to really grow in your faith and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So at this moment, if you can just take a few minutes as the worship team comes up, take a few moments and fill out the communicator. If you want to sign up, you can place that in the offering in a few moments as the ushers prepare. But can I challenge you with this? This is my dream. Can I just share a little bit of my dream with you? Some of you that were there Wednesday night heard a little bit about this. But here's my dream. Here's a little part of my dream. Is that we can be a church. That we can be a church that doesn't just show up on Sunday morning. You know, Sunday morning and having services is important. But we can be a church that doesn't just show up on Sunday morning. But we can be a church that shows up Monday morning, Tuesday morning, and our workplace is ready to go. And we can be a church that is actively growing in community with each other, in relationship with each other, and growing more and more like Christ every day. And to be that church, we need to be a church that is involved in each other's lives, that is part of community. Church is not just about sitting in a pew, but it's sitting, as one author says, it's just about sitting in circles. Growth happens best in groups, in circles, as we gather together in smaller groups and go deeper in God's Word and challenge and encourage each other in God's Word. And that's what my heart is for each and every one of you. It's my heart is for this church. That we can see 100% of our Sunday morning attendance involved in a life group throughout the week. And that's not something that I just say to be bold, but it's something that I believe is realistic and I believe that each of us should be part of. It's a matter of owning our spiritual development, saying, you know what, God has so much for my life, and I don't want to lay it on the table and miss out on it. I want to continually step into God's potential, God's plan for my life, what He wants to do for my life. And taking a step towards a life group, it's not that your life will be perfect,
by any means. But it's taking a step to say, you know what? I want to become more like Christ. I want to become more like Christ. So these next 10 days, I want to invest these next 10 weeks to becoming more like Christ. So I challenge you right now, as we prepare to receive our tithes and offerings, you can fill that out on the communicator, fill out the information there. And as I mentioned, if you're a first-time guest, you can fill out the communicator. And all we ask this morning is that you place that communicator in the offering. For those of you that are regular attenders here, your offerings, your tithe is important to help us continue the mission of reaching our community, continue the mission of transforming people's lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray this morning. God, I thank you so much. God, for your goodness. I thank you for your promise to us. Lord, that we can live life in community and express love and good deeds and encourage each other and spur one another on. Lord, I pray you challenge us as a church, Lord, to take steps towards our own spiritual development, to grow and become more like you. Lord, have your way, I pray, in these next 10 weeks. I pray for your blessing on each of the groups that are meeting. Lord, that you will help them grow in their walk with you, become more like you. Bless our offering this morning, Lord, I pray you use it to multiply.